This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
To Willard and Dibs.
What do you think's going to happen in this game, King?
That's a great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Tough. Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. Brandon Rush in 15 minutes. The Warriors are celebrating the 2015 team on Sunday. And retiring Andre Iguodala's jersey. More on that in a moment. Got to check in on Dibs and see if he's okay.
Oh, I'm good. Why wouldn't I be?
But before we move on from this, though.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much, 925, for reminding me about what actually is the dumbest rule in sports.
Okay.
I brought up the fumble through the end zone. I do think people should be allowed to speak freely in a press conference if they think a call was wrong. I'm not saying rip people. I'm not saying they'd get personal, but they should be able to be like, yeah, like I thought the game changed because that was a bad call down the stretch. Like, what's the big deal? Anyway, this is actually the dumbest rule in sports. 925 says, a rule I can't stand is in the NBA. If you challenge a call and you get it right twice, you don't get any more challenges. Why am I losing challenges because you got the call wrong? Beautiful. Thank you so much. That is actually the dumbest one. Why do you lose a challenge if you're right?
Yeah.
I've never understood that. And by the way, it's not just the NBA. It's true in the NFL, too. And it's true in baseball.
Well, in the NFL, if you get both of your first two right, you get a third one.
And you should get a fourth and a fifth, and you should never lose them until you're wrong. Like, I don't understand how on earth you lose anything if you're right. You're right.
Well, you get a third.
And a fourth.
Well, we already are going to look at every scoring play and every turnover. And in the new NFL now, we have the eye in the sky who will look at any play that they want to look at.
Replay assist.
Thank you.
No, so I get you.
Already, I think the NFL has gone a long way toward making these challenges less important. And now, a lot of times, the challenges are either a way for a coach to slow the other team's momentum or to throw a Hail Mary over a spot that they didn't like.
Yeah, no, listen, I get it, and it's rare. But this is more conceptual to me than anything else. I don't understand how if you get something right, you get anything at all taken away from you. Not one penny. Like, nothing. You do not get to take something away if you were right. So an official makes a bad call, they challenge it, you're correct, and you've lost one of your challenges.
Yeah.
What? What are we talking about?
Right?
That's odd to me.
The whole thing is very odd.
Yeah.
Because some things you can challenge and other things you can't. Like, you have a blatant kickball in the Dallas Warrior game. And that,
another good point.
That can't be challenged.
Yeah.
So, even though we all see it plain as day, that the man kicked the basketball, that is not challengeable?
Why is that, by the way? You read the rule book all the time.
Yeah.
I thought anything to me that is fact or fiction should be reviewable.
Agreed.
I understand if you don't want to do pass interference or holding, but fact or fiction, did you kick the ball or not? Fact or fiction?
Well, they would say that that was a judgment call, even though it's pretty clear and pretty plain as day that the ball was kicked. No, but that's what they would say. Like,
yeah.
For example, a goaltend, did the ball hit the backboard before the defender went up and blocked it? You can actually look at that,
yeah,
and you can see,
yeah,
if the ball hit the backboard or not. And I thought that kickball would be the same kind of a play. Like, you could see whether or not he kicked it, and, well, yeah, he kicked it, and he put his foot out, and it was intentional, and that's a kick.
I love that phrase, a judgment call. Everything is a judgment call. My judgment is that runner beat the ball to first base. My judgment might be wrong. So fact or fiction should be reviewable.
Holding is not fact or fiction.
Correct.
And pass interference is not fact or fiction.
I agree.
For the most part.
Because there are intricacies to those calls. It's not just black or white.
Yeah.
You know, pass interference, two players are jockeying, whatever. This guy's touching that guy, this guy's touching this guy. I understand that. But did the foot hit the base first, or did the ball hit the glove? Fact or fiction?
Pretty clear.
Yeah. That's all.
Can I add one here?
Yeah.
So this goes across like all sports. We talk about video review and replays and how we need indisputable video evidence to overturn something. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Speak on it.
Like, just because we take a random guess live, we have to stick with that random guess live because we're not 100% certain. I could be 95% sure that, say, Josh Allen got the first down in Kansas City. I think he did, but because I don't have the perfect angle or he's blocked by Chris Jones' helmet, I can't say he got it. No, go with whatever you think is more likely.
The rules are stated such that we are more likely to send someone to jail than overturn a call. You do not need indisputable evidence to find someone guilty. You simply need to move it beyond a reasonable doubt. I could not be with you more.
So dumb.
It, like, absolutely. When you see something and you're like, I mean, that's what happened. I can't sit here and, like, draw it out for you, but that's what happened.
Well, in this one, I think this particular case is tough because you had two different refs run in and say two different things in the moment. So already, they aren't sure. Like, they both were spotting the ball in different spots in real time.
Yeah, although, again, that was just the example that Grandy's using in this particular case. We have an abundance of examples of this kind of thing,
where
you can essentially see what took place. But, by the way, the extension of that, and I've said this before, I hate any time someone is reviewing their own call. Because they're activated by the idea of being right, like any other human being. So it should never, nothing should ever be reviewed by the crew that called it. It should always be going to New York or upstairs or replay assist or whatever. Let somebody else who has no dog in the fight make these calls. I think that is related to what you just said.
No doubt,
Randy.
Because, you know, having done some officiating when, granted, not at the professional level, but when you make a call, you're making a call based on what you've seen and what you think actually happened. So you make a call because that's your job, and I have never had to go to a video monitor and review my own call, but I know that my inclination would be to look at what I'm seeing and back up what I thought I saw in real time. Because
who wants to be wrong in life?
It's not only about being right or wrong, but it's about what you saw, and then you're watching it again. It's like, yeah, that's what I saw the first time.
Yeah.
It's almost like...
You're biased.
Confirmation bias.
Yes.
You're looking to confirm your own opinion, not because you're afraid of being wrong, but that's what you saw the first time, and you're seeing it again. And unless it's like, oh my God, I was really, really way off on that one, you're going to be more likely to say, yeah, that's what I saw, and I agree with it.
Let's go to Gene in Oakland, who's got one. Hi, Gene. What you doing?
Hey, I'm going to the club to work out, but I had to chime in because this is what kills me, and it always has and always will until it changes. The rule that there has to be a human being called balls and strikes in baseball. That drives me crazy. I mean, you can have differences in the strike zone between games, between batters, and within the same at-bat. And they can be so bad as to ruin an at-bat or even ruin a game. So we got the technology to finally get rid of the – or let's put it this way. We could have the umpire, but let technology determine balls and strikes, and then you can call balls and strikes from – you know, from the signal he gets.
The only thing that I'll say in your, you know, kind of to aid what you're saying right now, Gene, is I think you're going to get your wish. And thanks for the call. Like, this is happening. It certainly looks like the toothpaste is out of the tube on at least balls and strikes being reviewable now that they've got that box that we see on TV every day.
Yeah, I don't even want to get to that stage. Let's just go right to where you have the robots do it. I don't want to have the reviewable, the tap the helmet, and like, let's review it. I know you're saying that it's really fast and all that, and I get it, I believe you, but let's just skip beyond that, because that's just going to lead to more complaining about the umpires. Let's just go from what we have now, which is the good umps get about 95 to 98% of balls and strikes correct. The bad ones are about 88 to 92, and that's not good enough. So let's get to the machines, and let's get to where it's going to be 97 to 100% accurate, and let's forget the whole idea of review.
Hey, you soccer stands. Someone just texted in about offsides in soccer. How you feel about it? How do you feel about it?
I think that by the letter of the law, what they do with offside is it's right, but it's stupid. Like, a lot of times they'll draw that line, and you could have your pinky finger offside.
Right.
It's like, well, that's offside. Or your elbow. The spirit of the law is if you're even, you're on. And that's what, you know.
No, but like, why does it have to be that way? Like, I could cherry pick in basketball and you get a dunk.
Well, in soccer, you can't really have that.
Why?
Because it goes against the spirit of the movement of the game where the ball goes and you move. And the way it is now, I like the way offside is, where you can't just cherry pick, but I do think that with VAR, video assisted refereeing, a lot of times they draw the line, and if you do have like your shoulder or your earlobe is offside, well, now you're in an offside position.
What do you think, Randy?
Yeah, I'd agree with Dibs. I would imagine the person who's texting in probably is not a fan of soccer, and therefore they dislike the offsides rule itself.
Well,
soccer
yeah.
would be entirely different, and I don't think I'd like it as much without the offsides
scoring
rule.
Scoring would be easier.
No doubt.
And that's what a lot of American yeah. fans who have had a hard time with soccer, that's their thing. Like,
but Dibs is also right. The spirit of the law, I don't think VAR gets it right, because you could have an eyelash offside yeah. and it gets a goal taken away.
All right, we're sponsored by Safeway, and Brandon Rush is going to join us next. The Warriors celebrating the 2015 team this Sunday, and Dibs' favorite player gets his jersey retired. You can be all right with Iguodala in the rafters?
That's not my choice.
I know it's not your choice.
I'm okay with it.
Are you?
I mean, why do you keep, you're trying
because
to poke me, you're poking and you're prodding, you
yes.
asked me and I answered it. I am thrilled for Andre and the entire Iguodala clan. He earned it. And you know what? I'm going to be there,
like,
standing and cheering. I might even take my shirt off.
Your answer shows that you're not all the way in favor of it.
I'm fine with it.
Which is okay.
I don't own the team. So if
no, you
want to put his number in the rafters, which of course you know is...
Is it 9?
Look at you. Look at the big brain on Willard.
Did I get it?
Yep. Monte was 8.
Who knows?
Put Monte's 8 up there, Joe, while you're at it.
That's Kobe's. I know he was 8.
Not here.
Until he wasn't 8 anymore.
Exactly.
Then he was 24. Brandon Rush joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we appreciate that, Kurt, so much. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're on an absolute highway to the end of the week, working for the weekend just like all of you. Let's head to the finish line together here and then get ready for a basketball game tonight. We're working on connecting with Brandon Rush, see if we can get that done. But let's get back to Warrior basketball, because truly, I think almost as emblematic as anything else of the way Warrior fans feel about basketball right now, dude, it feels like it's been a month since they've had a game.
Right.
And that to me shows kind of the excitement level that's been created. And this is what we started off the show saying. I really think I miscalculated with that Jimmy Butler trade. I think we got a long way to go to know if it was still a great trade and a great contract. But what I miscalculated was the excitement that it would create with the Warrior fan base, because we see it everywhere right now. And I think it's really tucked into the fact that this trade kind of helped the Warriors finally declare whether they were about now or the future, they're about now.
It's one timeline, and this is the timeline. It's 2.5 years. It's Jimmy, Draymond, Steph, and everyone else that you have, and hopefully Jonathan continues to be a part of it. And, you know, you just mentioned that it felt like it had been a month since they played, and I'm thinking about 10 years since the first title, and it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years. It feels like it's been about 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But it's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years.
Coming up.
It's been 10 years.
My God.
In fact, joining us right now on the River Islands guest line is a member of that title team back in 2015, which will be honored Tuesday night when Charlotte is in town. Andre Iguodala's jersey will be retired Sunday with Dallas in town. And our next guest is going to be there for both of them, and that is former Warrior Brandon Rush. Brandon, thank you for coming on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing fine, man. What does this mean to you? And sort of what Dibs was just talking about. Like, dude, it's been a decade. Can you believe that?
It's unbelievable. The change. It's been 10 years since we won that. And, I mean, you can't just fathom that right now. You're, like, thinking back, like, God, Lee, that time has just passed by so fast. And then now it's coming up on 10 years. It's just amazing how time flies.
Right, and I'm just sitting here with my partner Mark, and I was about three different shows back when this all went down. And for you personally, it had to be quite a journey, because you're a Warrior and you suffered that absolutely catastrophic injury. I happened to be in the arena that night, and all of our hearts dropped. And then you end up getting traded for Andre Iguodala, and then you go to Utah, but then the next season you come back. What was it like for you individually to be here, get dealt, come back, and then be a part of a title team?
Well, for me, it was up and down because of the roller coaster we had my first year there in 11. We didn't have a good season. I think Steph was hurt majority of the time. And then they hired that was the second year of Mark Jackson. I get hurt the second game of the season, out for the season. Then I get traded, like you said. It was just a blessing, just to be able to come back. I certainly put my imprint on the team as far as, like, the management and whatnot and coaching staff, that they loved me, having me around in the locker room, having me around the guys. So that was the main reason why they thought it would be a great idea to bring me back. And, I mean, it's just like I just said, it has been a blessing to be a part of that team. And then following up from winning that championship to going down in history as the the winningest team in NBA history. So it is, I mean, again, it's just a blessing to have.
Brandon Rush with us here on Willard and Dibs. Brandon, what are you looking forward to most for Tuesday night?
You know, I'm looking forward to mainly the Sunday when Andre's getting his jersey retired. I think that's a big deal, especially the things he has done for the organization and that team, that 2015 team when he won Finals MVP. So I'm looking forward to Iggy and then on to that ceremony where they honor us, that 2015 team.
Yeah, and what a season that was, and what a run. And can you take us back to the Memphis series where Memphis takes you 99-89 in Game 3, and it looks like the Grizzlies might be too much, and famously, you guys all went to barbecue, or you decided to stop guarding certain players on Memphis. What was it like in that series where you were able to flip the script on the Grizzlies and then go on to win the title?
Yeah, that just came from this hard work. This hard work is putting in the effort of guys locking in, honing in what the guys' weakness are and their strengths were. And, I mean, we had a good coach. I mean, we had a great coaching staff. And then you was blessed with having Steph Curry on the team to make it happen.
Brandon, let's talk about that early Steph Curry career. When did you have an indication that we were dealing with a different kind of a player?
I would say around his third season is he made a little jump, but he was so inconsistent with his games because he's dealing with a lot of injuries here and there. But then after the ankle injury, and I want to say 2012 or 2011, went around those times, he was able to take his game up to the next level. I mean, he pretty much changed the game of how we played it, how it's played today. Everybody shoot threes because that's how Golden State played. Everybody plays small ball because that's how Golden State was so successful. So Steph really, really changed the game in my mind these last 15 years.
And how important was Andre Iguodala for that team to be able to play the way that they did? Because when he came in and what he brought defensively and his ability to ball handle, was he a big key into you guys being able to play small like that?
Yes, he was a huge key. And then having Draymond too. So you can't leave out Draymond. Draymond being able to guard big guys, the big fives, and put him in the center position at 6'4", 6'5", however tall Draymond is. And then you have a ball maker, a playmaker like Andre is able to roam around with his great hands. He's got some of the best hands I've ever seen in my life, getting his hands on the ball, stripping the balls, or getting deflections like that. So having Andre was really big for us going down the stretch.
Brandon, I'm going to circle back to my previous question, because with regard to when you knew that something was different with Steph, and you kind of mentioned the third year, I wonder, though, now if you can reflect, we're not just talking about a different player. We've now arrived at a time where most basketball fans look at this player and go, this is a top 10 player ever. And so I wonder, what's your reflection on that? Like, did you see that as a possibility at all when you were together?
I didn't think he was going to be – I mean, I'm just going to go back to where we played in college. We played him in the Elite Eight in 2008. And I didn't think he – I know he was good. He was able to score the ball, but I didn't think he was going to be able to change the game like he has over the last few years. And then it just came with confidence. Like, Coach Kerr put all this confidence in the kid, and then him being able to shoot the ball the way he does – it only translates to winning basketball because you put the right pieces around, like bringing in Draymond, bringing in Clay. Like, you have all these right pieces around them, and that's what made this team so successful.
And Steve Kerr obviously has played a huge role in that, and I know that you started with Mark Jackson, and he laid the groundwork and the blueprint for mm-hmm. the defense, especially for this team. But when Steve came in that first year and you guys won the title, what was it like to play for Steve when he was a rookie head coach?
For me, personally, it wasn't the greatest because I was still dealing with an ACL injury. But as far as, like, having him as a head coach and how he like a real player's coach that understand the levels of ball movement and how to get open shots without dribbling the ball crazy. And his whole philosophy which he got from the San Antonio Spurs, is that ball movement, everybody's getting involved. And he was a thrill to play with. I mean, he's a genuine guy and a great coach at that.
Brandon, there are only a handful of you guys coming back Tuesday night. To what level are you still in touch with all the teammates from that squad?
So right now, I'm actually talking to Mo Spates. He's trying to set up a time to play golf while you're there, since it's going to be pretty nice. And I really can't have the time to with anybody else other than Holiday. Holiday's he's in Italy right now playing. And a couple other guys, we touched base. Ian Clark was there for All-Star Weekend, but he's going back to Australia to finish out the playoffs. So I didn't get any other guys I really am being in touch with.
Well, you know, Festus Ezeli now is a big-time media guy out here in the Bay Area.
I mean,
you get a chance to talk to Festus, or do you have to go through an agent to actually get to Festus now?
You got to write him on Instagram. You got to find a way to get in contact with him. He's kind of hard to like reach out to and like send a text to, because it takes forever to respond. But he's always on Instagram, so you can either send a message to him and get in contact that way.
Brandon Rush with us. So Brandon, speaking of covering this team, how much are you watching what's going on with this particular squad, and what's your thought on the acquisition of Jimmy Butler?
I think having Jimmy is huge, because you have that piece to where you can close out games other than relying on Steph to be Superman all the time. So having Jimmy to close out games now gives them the extra advantage on winning some of these games. And that's what's been happening the last few weeks before the Jimmy trades. They haven't been able to close the games. So now they have Jimmy, and I'm seeing like they're playing well. I haven't had a chance to watch too many of those games since he's been there. But he's playing well, and it seems like the guys like him, and they have been winning.
Yeah, obviously you made your way, and you had your championship at Oracle over in Oakland, but now this is Chase Center in San Francisco. What are you expecting in terms of the reception from a fan base that now, 10 years removed from the first title, they're kind of growing expectations about titles, yet they got to have a lot of love for that first championship run?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a lot of love that would be shown, I guess, especially with Andre getting his jersey retired and having us there Tuesday to be honored, and I think it'll be a lot of love. So I think it's still a lot of fans from the Oakland side, where Oracle was, still big time fans.
Brandon, what stands out to you more in your career, a college basketball championship or an NBA championship?
Oh, that's the tough. I get that question all the time. I would say college, because this is one. I mean, you have one bad game and you're done for the season. And NBA, you get seven chances. Four out of seven chances to try to move on to the next round. So I would say college is probably the toughest.
Yeah, and I was at that game in San Antonio that night, and you guys were in real trouble. And you know, Memphis, I believe Douglas Roberts with a couple of missed free throws. Derrick Rose couldn't convert as well. And next thing you know, you guys hit a big three to force overtime. That was one of the real rescuing victory from the jaws of defeat games I've ever been to, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely. Even if you look in some of our guys' faces, you would see that we just seemed defeated. Down seven, like 2 minutes ago, we're like, we don't have a chance here. I mean, we're just blessed with those missed free throws and Mario making this miracle shot. And once I knew we got into overtime, I knew it was over, because we had all the momentum carrying in.
Hey, Brandon, before you go, I know you mentioned that in a way you're almost looking forward to Sunday more than Tuesday. Give us an idea of what Andre Iguodala was like as a teammate.
Well, he was a great teammate. I mean, he always had something smart to say. But all around, he was just a great teammate to play with, even be around outside of the court. I mean, he always trying to drop some knowledge, and he's always been great. So nothing bad to say about Andre at all.
Brandon, enjoy the heck out of both of these experiences, and thank you so much for hopping on with us for a few.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, there he is. Brandon Rush of the 2015 Warriors. He will be at both of the next two Warrior home games, Sunday against Dallas with Iguodala's number retired, and then Tuesday against Charlotte when the 2015 team will be honored 10 years since the Warriors became, at least this group, became champions.
And it hits me. I mean, 10 years, and then he's talking about the NCAA championship, and you mentioned the Steph Curry, or he mentioned the Steph Curry game and the Elite Eight, where Kansas had to eke it out over Davidson, led by the babyface sophomore Steph Curry in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. And I was actually at that game with your buddy Rod Brooks. He and I were at that Final Four game, and it's just one of those moments where your heart goes out to Memphis and the missed free throws. But yeah, Mario Chalmers with the triple, and Kansas wins it in overtime, and that's now 17 years ago, Mark.
I'm trying to remember. Give it to me again, because I swear to goodness that I might have been sitting next to you guys.
Might have been that one. That was in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome.
I definitely went to that.
Yeah.
And it I definitely went to that.
Yeah, Kansas beats Memphis in overtime. Yeah. Mario Chalmers hit that three after, you know, as Brandon mentioned, they were down seven with about 2.5 to go, and it looked like Memphis was going to get it done. They were going to win the darn thing, and a guy named Derrick Rose missed a couple free throws, and then Chris Douglas Roberts, who was a great college player, he missed a couple free throws.
CDR, yes.
And then your guy Mario Chalmers, who went on to have a good career in the pros, drilled a triple. And then they had Darrell Arthur on that team, and of course Brendan Rush. And
damn, dude,
Kansas was able to just kind of rescue that thing.
You know, I hate this. I hate when we sit here and do this.
I know.
No, but like the sports.
No, you don't.
No, the sports fans who are listening now, I want to make sure that everybody feels super served, and we're talking about what's going on now.
Yeah.
But like, there are moments where you come up, and no matter how old you are, I think you look back on things and sort of wish that they still were the way they were. And listening to you list out that roster, and kind of, at least my opinion, a college basketball roster will never sound like that ever again, because guys are out of there so fast. And we get to know college players for such a short period of time. I miss those days where you could go to a Final Four. I remember watching Florida, for example.
Oh, yeah, back-to-back years.
Dude, back-to-back years with Joakim Noah and Brewer, and I'm going to forget some of the other players, Horford, like those dudes.
Humphrey.
They were all on the squad and on the floor at the same time.
Did you say
time.
Corey Brewer?
Yes, Brewer, okay. And then you'd get them, and then you'd watch them all go into the NBA over the next year or two, and that just, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Not in the same way. And I'm looking at the UCLA team that lost in the Final Four. Kevin Love, Darren Collison, Russell Westbrook on that UCLA team.
Yep.
And they lost in the semis. Carolina was in there with Tyler Hansborough and Ty Lawson. These are NBA players now.
All of them.
These are guys who had good long careers, and, you know, that was your Final Four, but it just, Brandon had me thinking about that with the Steph Curry memory, and you look at that, and Steph was a sophomore, and here we are 17 years later, and he went from, man, what a neat story that was. This baby-faced kid from, wait, Davidson?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I know John Davidson, the former actor, but so he goes from that 17 years later, he's top 10 all-time and the greatest shooter in history.
That's why I doubled back to Brandon on that question, because I'm like, when did you know he was special? And that's one answer. And then I'm like, okay, when did you know that he was, as Steve Kerr put it, the greatest human being who's ever walked the face of the earth?
Right.
I mean, honestly, it really is. And I know what it sounds like. We end up fawning over this guy so often. And you know, maybe that hits you a certain way. I don't know. But the bottom line is it really is. We're watching in real time what I think is one of the greatest stories in sports history. And Warrior fans, it's all happening on your team. That's it. Like, and so when we go back to some of those conversations that we were having a month ago, 2 months ago, and people talk about the importance of Steph Curry never wearing another uniform, I'm going to double back to that for a second and really drive this point home. It's one of the reasons that I am glad about Jimmy Butler's acquisition, because I do not care if the effort at another championship for Steph Curry works out or not. I care, but my point is that's not the linchpin for me on this idea of Steph Curry finishing his career as a Warrior. That franchise needs to do whatever they can to make sure that that happens that way. We brought up in the crossover this idea of the greatest face of a franchise ever, and Goo brought up Jordan. And I wonder if he even qualifies, because once upon a time, he did put on a different uniform. Those names that we brought up with him, Curry and Jeter, like, to me, that's a big part of it.
Yep.
You never, ever, ever put on another jersey. And to me, that's one of the reasons that at this moment, Curry is ahead of Jordan for that subject matter.
Agreed.
Not as a player. Make sure you understand me. Not as a player.
Right. But in terms of face of the franchise, yeah. Legacy guy, and, you know, you could look at other players who have similar track records with one team, and it's Tim Duncan, it's Dirk Nowitzki, it's Kobe, and Steph Curry, as far as, you know, numbers of years with a team and the ability to win. I know Dirk won just the one. I think Kobe got 5 at the end of it, and Steph got 4, and Tim Duncan, I think, had 4, if not 5 of those. I don't know if he got all 5. I think he might have gotten all five. Because Steiny mentioned the other day that
I think he did get 5.
That he was kind of like the reserve center on the Kawhi team. Yeah. But when you look at legacy NBA players, John Stockton played his whole career in Utah, never won a ring, but he is the face of Utah. He and Karl Malone during the 80s and 90s. But Steph Curry is not only the face of a franchise, 4 titles, best shooter ever, but a guy who's now injected himself into the top whatever all time.
Yeah. I mean,
including an unbelievable American moment, too.
That's what I mean.
To just sprinkle on top.
Well, I mean, when you take the last 3 years as a whole, whatever Steph Curry had not achieved, he now has. Oh, but he's never been a finals MVP. Check. Or he never won a gold medal. Check. Oh, by the way, he also hit the big shots to win the gold medal. I mean, he's running out of things. He's running out of things.
Never made the Final Four, Mark. Couldn't get it done against Kansas.
Yeah, Joker.
9 of 25 in that game.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And we're here for your phone calls. And Bob and Filmo Mike, you stay right where you are. We're coming to you next, 888-957-9570. And the question we started the show asking, which is, when is the last time you felt this urgent about Warrior regular season basketball? When was the last time you felt like their games were this much of an appointment view, as we feel tonight is, and Sunday, and Tuesday, for that matter, as Warrior basketball in the 27-game stretch run gets started here shortly on 95.7 The Game. Your call's next on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, Aries, it's Buddy Hill. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
In life fun, in sports radio fun.
Super fun.
Like, let me, and the only reason I bring this up, and again, the beauty of this whole thing is that your opinion is your opinion. And no one can take that from you. And you get to keep it, and you get to say it with your chest if you want to.
Stand on it.
Right? I like to say it with my chest.
Stand on what you say.
There you go.
Stand on what you do.
I do. And so if that makes me a know-it-all, fine. I'll take the label. But isn't it fascinating how different, how wide the range is of things that you will hear people say when it comes to sports? Listen to this. Listen to this. And I see you, 408. You just texted in. And all I want to say, I appreciate you listening to this show and being a fan of our station, and even more so than interacting with the show. But we're just talking about Steph Curry, and again, nobody compared him to Michael Jordan, the player. We were talking about faces of franchises, which has got a whole business aspect to it. It's got a personal life aspect to it, branding, all of those things that go along with the actual basketball. But the text that just came in said, he's never been and never will be as good or as valuable as Jordan. Well, that's fine if you're just talking basketball. Watch the next sentence. Ready for this? He's just a shooter. And the last time I checked, not even the best shooter of all time. Isn't our job fascinating?
It's great.
It's great.
Like, it's amazing. See, and I think it's incredible that there's a human being on Earth who thinks that.
Well,
but that's the beauty of it all.
The idea of him being he's just a shooter. Okay, I mean,
what?
He's really good at shooting, yes. But if you watch the games, he can pass and he can drive. He's not a great defender, but whatever that means, and then you go to he's not even the greatest shooter of all time. Well, you can also think that. You're entitled to that opinion.
I mean, he does not have the best all-time percentage.
Right, yes. But what percentage do you want to talk about? And do you know who the all-time leading three-point percentage shooter is?
I don't even know.
Association?
Is it Ray Allen?
I think it's Steve Kerr.
Is it Steve Kerr? Does he have, and he has enough attempts?
Yeah, barely.
Okay.
Barely. He qualifies. Right.
Congrats.
The reason why, well, not the reason, but a reason why he is the all-time leader in percentage is that he thrived during the three-year period where the three-point line in the NBA was a joke, Steiny voice. The three-pointer at the top of the circle was, I think, 22 feet, and now it's 23.9. And during those years, Steve shot over 50% from three because the three was a glorified free throw. So, yeah, we can go to percentages, we can go to whatever you want, but by and large, if you ask NBA experts and those people who have watched the association for a long time, he's widely regarded as the best shooter ever.
Right, right.
So,
not my
opinion.
No, no. But,
although I share it.
No, but just a shooter is, to me, is patently hilarious. Like, a bona fide one on multiple championship teams, like a finals MVP, a standard bearer in the NBA, a gold medal winner, like all of these things. How on earth can you look at Steph Curry and be like, just a shooter?
Yeah.
That's so wild to me.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, but okay.
Well, and if you want to play face of the franchise, and this is probably an exercise for AI or ChatGPT, they could come up with the answer for every franchise, but if you wanted to go team by team, franchise by franchise in the association and say, who is the face of that franchise all time? If you got to the Warriors, it would be Steph Curry.
Of course it would.
If you got to the Lakers, you might have...
There's a debate there.
It's Kobe.
It's Kobe or Magic.
Kareem.
It's Kobe or Magic. I can promise you it's either Kobe or Magic.
Well, okay,
but,
fine.
But there's a debate, yes.
Fine. Like the Clippers, if you want to go to the Clippers...
I mean, Norman Powell.
I was going to say Michael Cage,
now it's probably,
but...
It's actually probably, the most beloved Clippers.
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, the most beloved. It was the Lob City era that got the most attention. So is that Chris Paul or Blake Griffin? But, prior to that, it might have been Danny Manning.
ChatGPT actually says Kawhi Leonard. So work on it, computer.
That's current.
I guess my point of all this is if you went franchise to franchise around the association, you wouldn't have 30 definitive answers, yet the Warriors have one, and it's him, that dude, Steph Curry. That, for me, becomes the bigger point of all this. And, I mentioned San Antonio and Tim Duncan. Well, he is the longest tenured Spurs player, and he had 5 titles, but I don't know if he... Like, right now, it'd be Wembanyama, but, like, all time...
All time is probably Duncan.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure.
Over Kawhi and David Robinson.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you'd go to Houston, and it would be Olajuwon.
Olajuwon, yeah.
Because he got the 2 titles, but...
Yeah, definitely. Hakeem. Yeah.
Again, if we played this game all across the association, you're finding a lot of these answers are 40 years looking backward.
Or debatable, or there's probably a lot of franchises who don't even have one.
Yeah.
You couldn't really answer
Charlotte
the
Hornets,
question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably Larry Johnson in Charlotte.
I mean.
Or Zoe.
I guess. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. 888-957-9570. Willie Adames might be the face of the Giants here pretty soon. We'll see. I know that's
great
what
transition.
They're hoping. And he is in about 13 minutes. If you missed our conversation with Willie earlier today, honestly, no joke, Giants fan or not, this is worth your time. He is very impressive. My God, he is very impressive. So we'll have that for you coming up. But taking your Warrior phone calls until then, Bob and Reno on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys, doing good. How about you guys?
We're good.
Excited for my birthday weekend. You know, we get to go see the Warriors play. I honestly bought the tickets before I found out that Andre Iguodala jersey retirement, and that just put the icing on the cake.
Woo!
So
nice call.
Guys, how are you guys feeling? Oh, sorry, my bad.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to say, how are you guys feeling about Sunday? I know they played the Mavericks not too long ago, and I know it was the whole trade thing went down. But one thing a lot of people have mentioned was they need to get in the paint early. What are you guys' thoughts on that, especially with now acquiring a guy like Jimmy Butler? And then also, you guys talked about the question of sense of urgency in the regular season. To me, I really can't think of a time we really had a sense of urgency. Maybe it was last season, but, you know, playoffs-wise, I would say the sense of urgency was, you know, when Klay and KD went down. You know, because everyone wanted that three-peat. Especially, you know, a lot of Warriors fans really wanted that three-peat. Just didn't happen. But I would say maybe sense of urgency was last season, but I couldn't really tell you the last time I've seen a sense of urgency in a very, very long time.
Yeah. Bob, thanks very much. Appreciate that. I mean, as far as the matchup on Sunday with Dallas, I know what everyone's thinking when they're talking about the X's and O's and Dallas is missing all of their big guys and it's like pounded inside. I look at it personally from a little bit of a broader view. They're a better team than the Dallas Mavericks right now. Kyrie Irving went absolutely crazy. I would not expect that to happen again because I would never expect someone to play that well. So, sure, obviously. Yeah, see if you can establish something inside, but that's not really the Warriors' offensive strength anyway. I just think the Warriors need to be sharper. And if they're sharper at the start of the game, they'll start winning these games. I hope that, and I trust that they do. I mean, they understand the same urgency that you're feeling, they feel double, trust me. And if you want any evidence, it's the fact that after that Dallas game, 22 hours later, on a night that every star took out in the NBA, those guys went out and played. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
And those guys went out and played and won a basketball game in Houston.
Because they're feeling the urgency. Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about the last time that we felt this. And I keep thinking back to last year, and I was just going through the schedule, and I'm looking at a loss against Minnesota that dropped them to 36-34. And at the time, they were the 10 seed with a one-game cushion on the 11th seed. And I don't remember the exact moment of that game coming in on the next Monday, which was Monday, March 25th. But I do remember the time, and it was like, are they going to miss the play-in? I mean, is this where we are with this team? And they did go out and win 10 of 12, and it didn't net them a top six seed. It netted them a play-in spot, and it only got them into the 10 seed, I believe. And so the urgency, though, down the stretch was, oh my God, Joe Lacob said you're not going to be a lottery team, and here you are, a game up on the 11. So I do think last year we had a certain amount of that urgency. Now, this is different because you got Jimmy Butler in, you got 27 games left, and it does feel like things have opened up a little bit for them to make their way up the standings and maybe get to a 6 or a 7.
I totally buy it, but I also think that this it comes in hotter than that. I'm talking about this year versus last year and the last time regular season games had this kind of thump to them, this kind of sense of urgency. And it is because of Jimmy Butler. It's because the Warriors have made a proclamation with this acquisition. You want me to say it? It's a proclamation sensation.
You don't have to.
No, I did. They have made a declaration, if you will. They are about now, and now they have multiple stars, and you just have a very hard time kind of half-stepping, which is what I feel like sort of happened at the end of last year. You boogied for the last few weeks, won a bunch of games, got into a play-in, totally got blown off the floor and went home, and Klay Thompson stared into the sky. Like, that's not what this team is capable of or what they're doing. That team last year never had this level of excitement from their fan base, as I feel like they do right now. We'll keep going on the phones. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.